get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Almost half of the people that go to Disney World go into debt to go there. The average debt that the family accrues is about $2,000. Now, here's the kicker to all of this. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, 90% of all those people say they're cool with the debt and they're happy about it to go to Disney World. Huh. Isn't that interesting?
You know, when I heard this stat, I thought to myself, it's actually a pretty modest number. And I know that sounds terrible. When you're talking about your family and you're talking about $2,000 worth of debt for that vacation, again, it seems pretty modest to me.
No, right? I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I mean, listen, I'm certainly not a wealthy man, but like $2,000. The only thing that I'm wondering is why not, I don't know, like why not just put a special, you know, fund aside for a couple of months? I mean, $2,000 isn't a huge amount of money to come up with. Why go into debt in the first place?
I think it's harder for some people than others. Yeah. I think it depends on a lot of different factors.
I never thought I'd be the guy on the other side of that conversation. Yeah. But hey, look at me go.
Well, right. Sometimes too, when you gotta go, you gotta go, right? Sometimes sure. Yeah. You need that vacation, and it doesn't matter what it's going to take to get there. But again, $2,000 for your family, not too bad. I feel like I spent that on all the little extras on the apps.
Well, I feel like in general, you just end up spending a lot of money when you go to Disney, whether or not you plan to or not. Just everything costs money. You want to get a water, that's going to cost you $5. You want to, you know, like the little things. But I started thinking about it, and I'm like, when was the last time that you incurred debt and you were cool with it? You're like, all right, this will put me into debt. What am I going to do? And just do it with a smile on your face.
I would have to say when I got my first apartment.
Oh.
That's, I was only like 18 at the time, not really knowing what I'm doing. You know, luckily though, at the time too, it wasn't like, you know, internet wasn't the huge thing. Neither were smartphones. So like, I wasn't paying so much for that, but just like, the amount, like I was working just to basically afford my rent and to afford like my car payments. And I ended up losing a lot of money doing that. But you know, I got the experience. So I wasn't really necessarily upset about it.
When I was 18, 19 years old, like when I went to college, that's when I made the mistake about credit card checks. I was like, wait a minute. I have this credit card now and it comes with these checks and I can use these checks to pay for things that I want, like rent, you know? And then I was like, oh, that was a mistake. In retrospect, I wish somebody would have told me that.
Yeah, you learned a lesson there, John. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I went into debt to go back to school to go do this because this was a career change for me. I went back at 30 and I did night school. It was a semester's worth of work. And I paid that off in about a month and a half, and it kind of worked out for me. Here I am. I mean, you know, against all odds.
Anytime you close on your house or whatever, you sew up the mortgage. The second you've got the keys in your hand, you're like, all right, sofas, we're going to paint. Oh, windows, we doing that. A deck, everything. Like, you just ring it up at that point because you're like, I'm never going to need my credit again.
Yeah.
Who cares? Right?
See, you're happy.
I'll tell you what, buying my house and then getting divorced shortly after buying my house, that's credit, that's debt that I regret going into a little bit.
I haven't done it yet, but it's coming and it's coming big. I was lucky enough that my dad worked to put me through college, so I never had any college debt, which I know is rare for a lot of people. But now I feel like I'm going to have to do that for my kids. And let me tell you, college is so expensive. And there is not a huge college fund waiting for my kids. And when Hayden goes to college in 3 years, like, I'll be happy to take on that debt for her, I guess. Ah! A fire breaks out in your house. It's 6 a.m. You've been up all night drinking and hanging out with your friends.
Oh, boy. I mean, that sounds like it's probably one of your friends' faults.
Who do you want to put out the fire? That's the thing you got to figure out. So what's going on is Gracie Abrams and Taylor Swift, they released a duet today called Us. Here it is.
Okay.
So Gracie Abrams dropped her whole second album today. It's called The Secret of Us. So while they were writing this song, they were at Taylor Swift's $50 million apartment in New York City. Tribeca.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, here's what happened that night. They were up drinking all night, and they had friends over, and they heard a thump in the other room, and Taylor said, oh, it's probably just one of the cats, because you know those cats.
Yeah, she got a lot of cats. Famous names. Yeah. These cats do what they want. They got run of the place. You know, these cats living their best life.
Turns out what the cat did was knocked over a candle and started a fire, right? And Gracie Abrams says that it was incredible because even though they had been drinking all night and it was 6 a.m., and FYI, I can't remember the last time I stayed up to 6 a.m. drinking with my friends. I must have been 25 years old. She knew to get a fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
That's what you do with fires.
Right. But like she was able to do it 1, 2, 3. And then Gracie Abrams says they had like an awful cough from the fire extinguisher for weeks after that.
But so, everybody survived the apartment.
It was fine.
The apartment
fine.
Went on. Yep. Yes.
Everything is good. Everything is good.
Taylor Swift's an American hero.
Yeah.
There was a fire.
She does it all.
And she used a fire extinguisher, Raven.
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine
but
the
she
bravery?
Did it. She did it in 1, 2, 3.
Right. In 1, 2, 3.
You know, John, you're very dismissive about this.
I mean, come on.
But I would like to say that one of us on this show has started multiple fires at their home at the grill. And were they always prepared to put out that fire?
I mean, I did. I put stuff on the fire every time. Man. I learned one time that it's salt, not flour. Flour is flammable. If you didn't know that, flour is flammable.
She took my mockery and she turned it right on you. That's messed up. I'm sorry, man.
You know, I mean, she's my partner. It's kind of part of the course.
That's what she does.
Listen, you know what? I mean, there is something to be said. We're being dismissive, but there is something to be said about somebody that keeps a level head in a panic situation. A lot of people just panic and run.
Very true.
So like throw flour on a fire.
It could have got worse, right?
Yeah.
Well, Taylor, it's salt, not flour, just so you know.
All right, so now here's the question on the spot. You could pick one person in this room on this show, Raven, John, Sean, or me, Anna. To put out a fire at 6 o'clock in the morning after you've been drinking all night. Who is the person you pick? First, John.
Oh, Sean. Immediately Sean.
Immediately Sean. Why?
Because he's Sean. He's like the most meticulous, like, by-the-book person ever. He keeps everything organized. He knows where everything is. I don't know where anything is in the other studio.
Yeah.
So he would know where the fire extinguisher is.
He would know where it was. He would know. Sean. Immediately Sean.
He'd be so worried about the mess that he'd have the fire out immediately because he'd be like, who's picking this up?
I'm actually not even scared about being in that room if Sean is also in that room. I'd be like, oh, Sean's got it.
All right.
Raven.
Nicolas Cage.
No, Nicolas Cage isn't sitting
he's
here.
He's a celebrity.
He's not.
I got to pick one of you guys?
Were you listening?
I'm going to pick myself.
No, nobody wants you.
I'm going to pick myself. I am good in a situation with panic.
Sean, who do you pick?
Just judging on how many fires Raven has set and put out, I got to pick Raven.
Thank you.
Why?
I'm basically a firefighter.
I had to buy him a fire extinguisher.
Because,
did you guys know that?
You know what? Because if worse comes to worse, and like something burns down, I'd be like, this guy, you know,
she
made it worse.
She bought me the suburban chick version of a fire extinguisher. She did. It's like little tiny. It's in a like shiny can. It's very pretty.
Yeah. I also choose Sean. Sean would put out a fire in a heartbeat.
The only correct answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Okay.
Whose car is that?
Are you kidding me?
Rich, famous people are not like us.
Oh, not in any way, shape, or form.
I want to make that very clear.
Who got a very fancy car?
Oh, producer John, producer Sean. Raven, listen to this.
The 16-year-old daughter of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star and Mauricio Umansky in tears after her parents gifted the new driver a very pricey first car.
Kyle Richards. And Umansky, Mauricio Umansky.
I mean,
they separated last year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and they're both famous, but I mean, they're not crazy, crazy, crazy famous.
No, but
they're still
rich.
Giving their kid a $100,000 car for the first car.
Yeah, so the girl's name is Portia, and guess what they gave her? Guess,
oh,
guys. Guess.
Stop.
A Camry.
It.
Take a guess what they.
A Camry?
A Ferrari.
It's just
a Kia.
Too on the nose.
No.
Watch out for them Kia boys.
A Civic.
No. $90,000 Porsche.
Ew.
I, you know what? Let's not hate on them. You got it. You got
oh,
it.
Oh, no, no.
You want to flaunt it? You flaunt
it. No, you know
it.
What? I'm going to rob them right now.
I mean, just, you know, not for nothing. It's okay to buy your kid a nice car. No question about it. But, like, maybe buy something safer.
Well,
like, I'm gonna hand you a Porsche right now.
Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story why I'll never forgive this man.
Huh.
My whole life, I had dreamed of getting a Mustang.
Right.
It's all I ever wanted. Right. And like, my parents are restaurant people. They worked hard in the restaurants and the pizzerias. And I made a deal with my dad that when I got my license, if he would get me a Mustang, I would work every single weekend for free at the restaurants as a hostess on Friday and Saturday nights. And he took that deal because he knew that I would. So I remember we went to the Ford dealership, and I'm looking at this Mustang, and it was like an affordable Mustang, right? And the guy...
Yeah, it was the generic one?
The generic one.
I mean, whatever. It's still a Mustang.
Yeah.
Go on.
The guy looks at my dad and says, I wouldn't put my daughter in this car. That's what he said.
They killed the deal.
Killed the deal right there. And he goes, this is what you got to do. You got to go buy the big sandbags and put them in the trunk because the back end will spin out a lot. And
it's not a terrible
my
idea.
My dad heard that and was like, nope. So I got a Ford ZX2. It was
That's right.
It was bright blue, two-door, no air conditioning.
No air conditioning even.
No. Wow. Yeah, it was like a base model. I was happy with it, though. Took me exactly 3 weeks to crash that car.
Really?
3 weeks, yeah. It was all right, though. I just slid into a guardrail. Yeah.
The idea, though, of like Anna in the Fast and Furious in a Mustang.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that. I want to watch that movie.
My first car was a Camaro. It was inherited, but I spent all this time like doing it up, making it look great, all that stuff, and it caught on fire. It was great.
Wait a minute. How did it light on fire, the first one?
I don't know. I'm not a mechanic.
Oh.
It lit on fire.
While you were driving it?
No, it was something in the carburetor. It was, it lit on fire outside of my job.
Oof.
Yeah, okay. As a pizza delivery guy.
That seems questionable.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, mine's...
You know what? Maybe somebody did it. Maybe they lit it on fire. Right?
That's what I would think. Yeah, no, mine's very tame in comparison. It was a 93 Ford Escort, but the LX, the luxury model.
Nice.
So it means it had power. Ooh. It had power windows, and it had a sunroof.
Wait, did it have the automatic seatbelt closing
things? It did. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
And a friend had the same
about
Escort.
That in 20 years, it did have that, man.
You remember those? They would choke you.
Those were the most annoying things ever created for cars.
And I made it a full year, and then I was leaving a party the next summer, and I crashed it.
Yeah. All right. Sean, your first car.
It was a 1992 Ford Taurus.
Oh, we all got Fords.
Yeah.
Right.
Ford Taurus. And you know, funny thing is I never crashed it. It was just such an old car. I think like 3 years later, it just died out. I was driving it one day, and it just like...
Yeah.
I heard like a loud bang in the transmission. Like, you know, when a guy came to tow, he's like, yeah, the transmission blew. It's just an old car. Had like over 200,000 miles on it.
And that was it. You just retired it.
Yep.
So they're calling Gen Z. That's people born after 1995. The anxious generation. There is this psychologist. His name is Jonathan Haidt. And he says there's a specific reason why they're so anxious.
A complete collapse of mental health hitting especially girls and especially young girls. It all starts around 2013.
2013 is when all these mental health issues start happening. And there's one reason why, he says.
There is only one explanation. There is no other theory that can make sense of a synchronized global collapse in mental health other than the fact that in 2010, the great majority of kids had a flip phone, no high-speed internet, no unlimited data, no Instagram. And by 2015, they all have a smartphone, high-speed internet, Instagram, front-facing camera.
So how do we fix this?
Blow up phones.
Well,
blow up cell phone. I mean, essentially, every one of these studies, every one of these conversations we are having day after day after day comes to that. The simple fact is that there's nowhere for kids to hide anymore.
It's true. And it's
nowhere.
So, and you're exposed all the time. And think about all the insecurities you had when you were a kid. Now it's for the world to see. And you're not living up
right?
to these people, these influencers who are fake. They're not real.
Totally. And they're getting faker by the day on top of it. If they're not even like, you know, at this point, they're being dressed up by AI or whatever at this point. You
so
know?
Here's the four new norms that he's proposing to help eliminate this in the future and rectify the situation. One, no smartphones before high school. So now, like, the average age that a child gets a cell phone is 11 years old.
Yeah.
So he's proposing that becomes 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
Two, no social media before the age of 16. Now, a lot, you know, the government's getting involved in this, and they actually want to put age restrictions on all these apps.
Yeah. Again, you know, we've been talking about this. This is going to be a long cycle because no matter what it is that they put in place, the phones are already in people's hands and people have civil rights.
And they want to ban smartphones in schools, which a lot of places are already doing, including Los Angeles, that just passed it this past week.
Yeah, I'm here for that. But, you know, if you walk out in the parking lot, you could say something terrible the next minute. You know, it used to be the crazy person was the one that we were like, take them off the grid. And now we're kind of like, wow. You know, like, all right, Gwyneth Paltrow, it makes sense. Separate them from that.
The fourth new norm, though, is more free play. And I love that because I think back to when I was a teenager and the free play and the things that we would do when we didn't have smartphones where our heads were constantly buried in TikTok and Instagram. So What are the four norms from when you were growing up, Raven, that you would suggest we bring back?
Well, free play for me looked like things like jumping off the cliffs at the local quarry near my town. Like, that was the craziest thing you could do. You knew your parents didn't want you to do it. You were 80, 100 feet up in the air, and maybe you were going to land on that Volkswagen that was rumored to be in the bottom. You don't know.
All right, so jump off cliffs.
Yeah, okay. Getting chased by the popo on my YZ80 was also a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure these are the things that are going to bring mental health back to children.
Oh, no. I mean, it felt great for me. I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun. Washing your car, something so simple as like when you're 16 and you get that first car.
Yeah.
And then going out there and just like washing your car and cleaning your car. I used to do that all the time.
Imagine telling a 15-year-old girl, go jump off a cliff and wash your car.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would play ColecoVision. I'd plug that in and play that.
All right.
What do you have?
Learn all the dance moves to Janet Jackson's If.
They don't even know who Janet Jackson is.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
No, not at 10.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what
you were over there pulling that song 10 minutes ago, and Anna was doing all these weird...
I still remember the dance
moves. Dance into my seat moves.
Practice your signature for when you're famous.
No, they can't write cursive anymore.
No, they have to learn how.
I'll learn cursive then.
Right. Do Miss Mary Mac with your best friend. If you don't have a secret handshake with your best friend, are they really your best friend? Are they?
You know what? Good question. Fair question.
Yeah, and go to the food court at your local mall.
I had go to the mall.
Go to the mall.
On my list.
Go to the mall.
The mall is like, please.
Yes. You want your mental health back? Go to the mall.
Please, says the mall.
What's your beach lifesaver? Like, you go into the beach, you go into the lake, you go into the river, you go into wherever you're going to go to cool off, because over 60% of the country is under a heat wave right now.
It is brutal.
What are you going to bring with you? They have the top five things on this list. Number one, umbrella. Yeah, umbrella is good, except I always have a real hard time getting it up. It is so hard.
You know what? And I mean, the main thing for me with the umbrella is making sure that it's properly anchored. Getting it up in the air is one thing, but having it not fly off halfway throughout the day and stab somebody like three blankets over from you, that's kind of a big thing, right? Yeah. And you know, when you got to tilt it or whatever, you're like, oh, like...
It's like the umbrella walk of shame when that happens.
When I was younger, you would laugh at people with the umbrella or the canopy or whatever. Now I'm like, nope, bring it all. Bring all of it.
Lip balm. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's like on the top five list of things to bring to the beach.
Is there anything worse than having sand in your lip balm, though?
Number three, water. Yeah, you need your water. You never feel thirsty for some reason when you're on the beach. And then all of a sudden, you realize you haven't drank and it's 127 degrees outside.
No, get your water.
Yep. First aid kit. This is something I never thought about, like throwing one of those in the beach bag. But if you think about it, a kid inevitably will cut their foot on a seashell or something will happen and you'll be like, no idea what to do.
I mean, as an adult, I try when I go to the beach to be a little bit minimalist because my wife is an overpacker. So I don't know that we have a first aid kit, though.
Mm-hmm. And deodorant. And I was shocked
that
was number five on the list of things to bring to the beach. I have never brought deodorant in my life to the beach.
Not once. And I wouldn't change my plan for it now. It's just going to be melted anyways.
Yeah. Megan, what's your beach lifesaver, the thing you always bring?
It is a giant UFO hat because I love the beach, but I hate the sun. I wear this giant floppy hat, and my kids joke with me and tell me it's my UFO hat because I don't even have to bring a beach umbrella. They all just, like, gather underneath this hat. No sunburns in my house.
Right. You get past it. You don't even care what it looks like at that point either. It's about true coverage, right? Does this thing work? Yes. Okay, give it to me. It's my favorite hat now.
Right. If it's bright green, they can just find me easier when they get out of the water.
That's how I know I'm getting older, because I certainly did not care when I was 25 years old skincare, putting on suntan lotion. Yep. Now I'm like, I'm going to get spots. Yep. I can't go outside.
I wear a hat every time it's hot. Yep. No question. If going to the beach locally or on vacation. If I'm on vacation, I wear a hat the entire time. Mm-hmm. I never wear a hat whenever else in my regular life.
James, how about you? What's your lifesaver at the beach?
Gotta be sunglasses. I feel anytime you forget the sunglasses, your eyes are just roasting underneath the sun and you can't escape it. You try and put the shirt over your face, you turn your head, but it's just miserable without a good pair of sunglasses.
How do kids not wear sunglasses?
You can't see anything.
I don't understand how they do it. Like, when I look at my 5-year-old, and I always carry an extra pair for her, she doesn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
How do they see? Like, if I leave my house without my sunglasses, I have to go home and get them.
Yeah, no, I can't see anything, especially at the beach where the water's reflective and everything's bright. Like, no, I can't see anything whatsoever. Yeah, what's the worst is you go in the water, you get out, and you like wipe your eyes and they're like salty, and then you don't have sunglasses. Now you're blind for 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
Even if you're looking at the ground.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was thinking about? When I go to the beach, I pack like I'm never going to leave there. And,
yes.
And it's like it takes me 7 hours to get the kids and all the things out there. And then I stay for about an hour and I'm like, that's good.
I was going to say, go home. You've told me that before. So my wife does the same thing. She packs like crazy, thinks of absolutely everything, except we go all day and we don't leave till the sun goes down.
I don't know how you do that.
But you've told me before you go for like an hour.
2 hours max.
What?
A majority of the country is under a heat wave right now. It's hot outside.
Mm.
The weekend here, you're probably heading to the beach, the pond, the lake, the river, whatever's close to you. What is the one thing you have to bring with you? 1-800-330-9999. Lois, what's your beach lifesaver?
Baby powder for my feet. I can't handle sand when you're trying to put your shoes back on to leave.
Wow.
Baby powder's the secret.
No kidding.
Yeah, I've heard that before, Lois, and I've never done it, but this is going to be the summer that it comes with me and I'm going to pack it.
I thought they got rid of baby powder. I thought they were like, baby powder's terrible. We're outlawing it.
Johnson & Johnson got sued, but I think they fixed it. They took the stuff out.
They paid the bill.
Maybe, yeah, whatever was making people sick, they fixed it. I don't know. I don't think we're just not supposed to use it on babies anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah.
When you sprinkle it on your feet, it's not going to hurt anything else in your body.
Right.
It's taking the sand off your feet.
And my feet got enough problems, awesome. Right.
Carrie, your beach lifesaver, what is it?
A radio. Are you kidding me? How can you sit at the beach without listening to Heather and Raven?
Oh, well, that's really sweet. Thank you, Carrie. But I have to tell you, you know what I've started noticing lately?
What's up?
At different beaches that I visit, there's signs saying no radios, no speakers anymore, and they don't want them on the beach. And that I don't understand, because I'm like, does it become combative where like one person is blasting their music and the person next to them is blasting their music?
I mean, just keep your speaker closer to your ear, right?
Yeah, keep it low and keep it just so that you could hear it yourself. I mean, you have to have a radio when you're laying out in the sun.
I'm True. With you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Hey, Melissa, what's that lifesaver, that thing you've got to bring to the beach?
So I really like bringing frosted animal crackers. Because the frosting, like, it gets a little melted in the sun, and then everybody has, like, a sugar boost.
I will say bringing snacks, bringing cookies and not just chips is always exciting.
Mm-hmm. My wife packs the lunch, and the sandwiches are fantastic. And then there's always going to be some pasta salad or whatever in there. Have you tried, just incidentally, the Reese's peanut butter crackers? Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
What is this magic witchcraft?
It's like an animal cracker, but it's a large one, like a big one. And, of course, it's got Reese's peanut butter on the back. It's crazy.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's what you're taking
Next
to the beach.
Trip.
I saw them at Costco. It's like a 7-pound bag. Good luck. Enjoy the beach.
Eric, what's your lifesaver? You're going to the beach. What are you bringing?
My family found these amazing light-up koozies, so we'd stop losing our drinks at night, or if we were camping. It was the best thing in the world, because we'd just leave cans everywhere and then not be able to find them. But now we always have it right in our hand and can see it in the dark.
Light up koozies. How late do you stay at the beach, Anna? How long do you go to the beach?
I don't think I don't like going to the beach at night.
Really?
I don't like it. I don't know why.
Why? You
I
think
don't
a
know.
Shark's going to come out of the water, come get you?
Unless it's like 4th of July and I'm somewhere where there's a beach and like that's part of like watching
and there's
the
a
fireworks
lot of people.
And there's a lot of people. Like I'm not going to the beach at night.
You feel unsafe at the beach.
I do.
Huh.
I don't like it.
Maybe it's the noise because you can't hear things around you.
No, and then you got to deal with the kids and there's no lights and they're going to get close to the water.
I mean, I a freestanding adult as yourself. That's what I mean.
No, I don't want it. It's cold. It's like it gets chilly. It's not
right.
for me.
I love the beach at night.
I don't need a light-up koozie. I can see it perfectly during the day.
You keep it close.
Oh.
Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane-keeping assistance come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/drivertech. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yesterday at about this time, I was sharing a story about how I was on the train and I watched an 8-year-old boy eat sushi, and I immediately thought to myself, sushi's not something you should eat on the train.
Mm.
He took a bite with his chopsticks of the California roll dipped in the soy sauce, dropped it on the train floor. His mother looked at him and said, just this one time, and he ate it off the floor. And I took a deep breath.
Why would a mother give that permission?
Because you're tired.
Is it the last California roll on the planet?
Just eat it.
Are we starving?
Oh, you'll never understand that exhaustion, Raven.
I guess not.
Yeah. So we asked you, list us 5 things you should never eat when you're in motion. And we sent producer John on the road. We made him go buy these things and try it to see, can you eat it while you're moving around? First person said?
I say gum.
Gum? All right, John, here's what happened when you ate gum, chewed gum while you were driving.
We're going to try it out. The first one was gum. This is nothing right here. I'm taking turns. I'm adjusting, you know, mirrors and all kinds of stuff. Now, gum is fine.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, why did we even bring that one up?
I don't know where that person was coming from. I chewed the gum. I drove the car. It was great.
You know what happened? Clearly, that she was a deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. We turned it on. We were like, what can you not eat? She was like, oh, gum. Mm.
Second person?
A hot dog?
A hot dog.
We got a hot dog now. And just to make things even crazier, I made it a chili cheese dog.
Oh.
So, I mean, that is pretty awesome. I'm definitely driving with my knee more than I probably should. But so far, no spills.
This was by far my favorite thing I've ever done for this show. We're going to expense all of those chili cheese dogs, and it was great.
You're true. I hope you kept your receipts. Oh, you know what? I mean, here's the thing. When you eat the chili cheese dog, like, you know it should be possible, but you also know that you're flirting with disaster. It's still on your fingers. You don't know.
I made peace with it.
Chili cheese dog and also Taco Supreme from Taco Bell, which I've spilled on myself many times while driving.
If you put the sauce on there,
the oil drips on your
shirt.
You
can't put the sauce on top.
Yeah, next person.
I know people are allergic to peanuts.
Peanuts? So why would that have to do with eating in motion?
Peanuts is next. And I know you're thinking you got to take a hand off to, like, put the peanuts in the hand, right? But not with this guy right here. Mm-hmm.
I think you cheated, John, because I was thinking you had to actually crack the peanuts. You had to open the peanuts, and you just already got the shelled ones.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, I can see that. But, I mean, come on. If you want to eat some peanuts, you get the jar. I don't know if you could hear it jiggling around. It's a big jar, and I just drink it. It's delicious.
Right. I could do that with the honey roasted, too.
What should I never eat? A Subway sandwich.
Subway sandwich. How'd it go, John?
The sandwich is the ultimate on-the-go food. Am I going to get some lettuce in the car? Yeah. But do I care? Not really.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not
again,
at all.
I've made peace with it.
Yeah, I feel like a sandwich is fine. And then the last one was the true test.
Soup.
Soup. Can you eat soup while you are driving a car?
Soup is an objectively bad thing to eat in the car. That's obvious from the get-go. But if you get it in a to-go container like this, you can do a little bit of this, and it makes it easier.
What are you doing? They're doing a little bit of this.
I just took the top off, and I'm just drinking the soup like it's out of a cup. You know what I mean?
I see.
If you put it in a thermos, it's fine.
I think the hot dog is a no if you make it a chili cheese dog. I think the sandwich is tough because it's going to go, the
oil.
So strong, yes, for me,
but okay.
All right.
Depends on how heaping the sandwich is.
And the soup, I mean, you're going to drink your soup like that's not even enjoyable.
No dice. Don't do it.
Mm.
If you've ever watched TV, you've probably heard this.
I take one steak.
And you've heard her in a million other jingles and seen her all over TV. Deanna Colon, you know, Deanna, we have something in common. We were both raised in Italian restaurants.
Stop. Where was your Italian restaurant?
My dad's first restaurant was in Norwalk, Connecticut. That's where I grew up, sleeping on pizza boxes in the back every day after school and every single weekend.
Girl, you should see my face right now because we were asleep on the giant bags of flour down in the basement.
You know, Deanna, we talk about, like, entrepreneurial women and the things that they do. And usually you have, like, your niche. Like, they always say, like, stick to your niche. And for me, I feel like I can't vary from I'm a radio personality / like comedy parenting. That's what I do. But, girl, you do everything. You were on America's Got Talent. You write jingles. You were on MasterChef. Am I right? What the Food Network? What did you do?
Yes. Food Network and MasterChef.
Besides all the food stuff, you've written some of the most famous jingles that you hear in commercials. People hear your voice and know it. How do you separate the two, and how do you have time for all of it?
I'm a really, really, you'll ask my husband, I'm OCD. If I took you through my day, you'd be like, oh, my God, she's exhausting. I literally get up at 6 or 7, spend an hour cleaning the house. My husband and I are huge animal rescuers, huge animal advocates. We have 6 dogs. We had 7 last week, but we lost one, sadly.
I'm
and we love our animals. So I get up every morning because I'm that person. I'm a Cancer. I really am good at scheduling and multitasking and prioritizing, like very, very good at prioritizing. So of course I'm going to pay attention to the jingle that needs to get done today for the client rather than, you know, oh, I think I'll clean my house right now. Like, no, do the jingle. I also teach. I'm a vocal coach, international vocal coach. I teach around the world, 30 students a week. So there's the singing and the songwriting and the acting and the hosting and the chef life. And then I own a self-love apparel company called Bomb Chica Apparel. And I own the trademark on the statement, I am a masterpiece. You know, when you grew up, I really battled obesity my entire life. I own the trademark on I am a masterpiece because I hated myself for a period of time. Didn't want to be here for a period of time and then went into a whole like self-love season. And so I am a masterpiece. I try to inspire people with that statement. It's my platform.
All right, Deanna, the one last thing we need to know is the advice that you give to other women that are starting out. They've got a dream, something they want to achieve. What would be the one thing you would say they have to do?
You have to believe in yourself 110%. I have to tell you that in my life, people have been like, it's not what can you do, it's what can't you do. And what I'm really excited about is there's something very big on my plate that's about to happen, and you guys will see it.
Girl, you go get it. I love it. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yes. Infectious energy. Go get it.
Instagram, TikTok, Deanna Bomb Chica. And Deanna, if people want to find your website, where do they go?
IamDeanna.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It was such a pleasure. Have a beautiful day.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mama's Margarita Friday. Of course, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or if your kids are human, have four legs, or you're just in charge of a whole company. We get it. It's not easy to be in charge, and this is your chance to just vent. So what did you do this week to earn your margarita? Lisa?
Put up with my in-laws staying at our house.
How long were they there for?
8 entire days.
Oh.
That's a long time to have somebody at your house. Doesn't matter who they are.
No, that's absolutely true.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how much you like people, how much you love people. I mean, obviously you love your family. Well, maybe not so much your in-laws. But, I mean, obviously you love people. But, you know, when they get in there, it always seems like a better idea when you're planning it ahead of time. Sure, we'll manage. We'll do this. But the second, third day you've got people living in your space, you're like, this is miserable.
Right.
Like, even if you love them, you want them gone.
I've never met anybody that's like, I love when people stay at my house for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the company. Never once have I met somebody like that.
I mean, if I had a guest house, that would be one thing, right? Something out far beyond the acres of the pool, that would be one thing.
Yes.
But until I win the Powerball, that's not a thing that's ever going to happen in my life.
Well, here's the thing, Lisa. You survived it, you did it, and you're a better person for it, and you enjoy your margarita.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lindsay, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I'm a preschool teacher, and my entire class had the stomach bug. Oh. And I made it through the week, and I did not get sick.
Oh, my gosh.
I earned my margarita.
I mean, that's the stuff you got to deal with around Christmas time and the holidays. When it's the end of the school year, you're over it. That stinks.
Yeah, it's scary even. If I'm your friend, though, I'm still like, maybe I'm not hanging out this weekend.
Right, exactly.
Maybe I'm not.
Let's just wait till Monday, make sure you're still good.
Right. I'll see you next week. Well, enjoy that margarita. You earned it.
I will. Thank you so much.
Miranda, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I deep cleaned my kitchen, and not just cleaned it. I mean, I cleaned it, you know, every day as I use it, but I deep cleaned it. And you know how you can imagine how disgusting that gets. So, yeah, I mean, I think that I earned my margarita. I deserve a margarita for that. So, yeah.
Did you do the stove?
Oh.
I did. Exactly.
Because it's not deep cleaning until you do the stove. Other than that, it's just mopping. You might have steamed something, but until you do the stove.
Right.
Did you do the fridge?
I did.
Man. Okay.
Fridge,
now,
you know, you forget.
Yeah.
You forget about the fridge. And so there's just remnants of stuff. And it wasn't horrible. We like to keep it clean, and I do give my family credit for that. But it wasn't fun. I had to take everything out, put everything back. Margarita time.
Deep cleaning is always interesting because it seems like a good idea and you're so gung-ho at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But when you've taken apart your stove or taken out all the shelving and the drawers inside your refrigerator and all the food is all over the place and you're like got the soft scrub and all that and you're like, what did I do?
Right. Why did I do this?
Why did I do this?
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon now.
I'm never going to be done.
Right. This is horrible.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's exhausting, and then you have to put it all back, and right. you're like, why did I do this?
What but if I give up in the middle in the of end. This, right? Then you can't forgive yourself? Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Try to get the drawer back in. Like, for some reason, why don't the drawers ever go back in normal?
I mean, they go back in for me. That's fine.
Well, you enjoy your margarita. It's just making me feel like I'm going to have to deep. I need to deep clean my windows, and that's going to be terrible.
Oh, both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's just up for you to decide who's right. Molly and Evan. Molly, what's going on?
So we have two twins and they're 11, and I think that Jenny, she should be responsible enough to be left at home. And John, he's just constantly getting in trouble. I just think that we should maybe put in a rule that they can stay home alone without a sitter if Jenny wants to also be home. And Evan thinks it's not fair to him. So
I hear where you're coming from, but I just see all the problems.
I'm confused. What is the problem? So you have twins that are 11 years old, and one is responsible and one is not. So this is about leaving them at home alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it started from one stupid thing with a firecracker. It's just one accident. He's not a bad kid. He's just getting used to being, 11.
He's not allowed to be home alone unless his sister is there. You don't think that's fair, Evan?
As a small punishment for one time, but to make it a standing rule, I grew up with a sister, and there's no way I'm going to listen to my sister. He's going to act out even more.
Molly, you would let your daughter be in charge here.
Of course.
And this would be something that you would say out loud?
I have no problem saying that. I think that it instills some sort of responsibility in her. I think that she'll learn from it and become more adult from it. I think it'll make her feel better about herself. And I think that if she's in charge, that he needs to learn how to listen to her. Starting at 11 is a fair age. They're not 8 years old. I've looked on all these different mommy sites, and they all say that 11 is a fair age to leave the daughter in charge.
Her brother is the same age. They are, in fact, twins. You don't see a problem with resentment with this at all? You don't see your son recalling that you told him that he wasn't responsible enough and his sister, who is the same age, was?
This is fascinating.
You don't see that at all?
I think he knows that he has been to detention in his school multiple times this year. She has not. She's had straight A's. He has had B's to B pluses. And I think that this will make him want to be in charge. I think that if we instill a policy with him, he can be in charge if he does better in school, if he shows that he's doing a great job while she's in charge, then I'm happy to put him in charge.
Wow.
But I think that it'll make him want to do better.
I agree with her.
Oh my gosh! I'm just gonna zip my lip because
irresponsible, right, and you have proven yourself to be irresponsible when you are home alone, then your sister is in charge, and if you do something wrong, then she's gonna call you and say, "Ma, guess what he's doing."
I mean, I think the announcement of somebody being in charge when you're 11 and starting that, if you don't think he's gonna remember that at 40. You're completely upside down on this, both of you. But I think that we'll just ask people and let them answer.
Well, I mean, one thing you just said, like with my daughter being in charge, and then if our son acts up, what if she weaponizes that?
100%. And I mean, they're both children.
Good kids. They're good kids.
I'm sure they're wonderful kids. But what you're doing is conducting an experiment with their development right now. I don't know. 1-800-330-9999. What do you think? Can you put one twin in charge of the other?
Can you leave one twin in charge of the other if one is responsible and one is not? That is the disagreement between Evan and Molly. Molly says they're 11 years old and their daughter is much more responsible than the son. So she just wants to say, like, if you guys are going to stay home alone, she is in charge. And that's all that it comes down to. But Evan's not on board with that.
Evan just says, listen, this creates all sorts of problems. And I tend to agree with him. He's like, first off, you know, she can hold this over his head if she's in charge. And they are siblings. And obviously, you know, with siblings, there comes disagreements, rivalry, all those type of things. He says, my son's a good boy. He's 11 years old. He's a little bit rambunctious. He's had, you know, a little bit of trouble here and there, but he's not like a danger or anything like that.
Didn't he set off fireworks?
I mean, he set off a firework at 11 years old. Okay. And then he got a lesson and he talked about it and he was disciplined for that. I think the main thing comes, listen, if you have two twins and they're 18 years old and one's more responsible than the other, you could probably have this conversation at 11 when they're developing. I don't think that's a good idea.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Stacey, whose side are you on?
Well, I guess I'm on the dad's side, but the reality is they're not 12 yet, and that's the age they're supposed to be alone. Parents get in trouble when their kid is under 12 years of age. So maybe use this time until they're 12 as a testing ground of saying, listen, guys, when you guys are 12, we want to be able to leave you alone, but we need to see who's going to be responsible. And whoever is showing up as responsible at that time, that's who's going to be in charge for whatever episode. So that the boy has time to actually realize, hey, this is going to be a consequence if I don't get my act together.
I mean, that age thing varies from place to place. It doesn't matter where you are, but I think people know. It still seems like a dangerous thing, right? Get yourself ready for the next year. Show me how great you are so you can be in charge. I don't know about that.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Can you leave one twin in charge of the other? What if one is more responsible and that's why you're doing it? That's what's going on between Evan and Molly. Molly says they're 11 years old now. They can stay home alone only if their daughter is home, because she has to be in charge because she is much more responsible than their son.
I don't need to tell you, Anna. Every kid is different, right? And the way that they behave, obviously, you're going to have variations with that too. But when you've got two twins, siblings, and you're giving one power over the other, that just seems to me like it's fraught with danger.
I actually don't see anything wrong with this. It tells him, like, look at your sister. Look how responsible she is. She gets special privileges. And if you're responsible, you will too.
Sounds like dictatorship.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Katie?
I'm sorry. I'm on dad's side. I'm on the husband's side. I babysat my brothers when I was younger, and they barely listened to me. And also, if we learned anything from The Simpsons, it's that siblings should not babysit siblings.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's just inherently a dangerous thing if you tell an 11-year-old, like, you're bad, and the other one, you're good.
Did Maggie babysit Bart and I missed that episode?
Lisa.
What happened?
It was Lisa who
of course.
Was, because Lisa was the responsible one.
Right.
She babysat Bart and Maggie, and Bart made all the problems, like giving Maggie coffee.
Oh.
Nice.
Bart ended up breaking his arm.
Oh, nice. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Let's avoid this.
I guess it makes more sense than the baby babysitting.
And Raven, who's this?
Hi, this is Carol and Kathy. We are identical twins.
All right, Carol and Kathy, this is perfect.
Which one of you is evil and which one of you is good?
Stop it. Whose side are you on?
We're definitely on the husband's side. I think it's a really bad idea to put one twin in front of the other twin because you're the same age. And she listed all these qualities that it was going to instill in the daughter. If she left her in charge, I think it would do the exact opposite for the son. So I think it's a really slippery slope. We both think do not leave one twin in charge of the other.
Okay, but if your parents are only going to leave one of you in charge, which one would they pick?
They would have to pick the daughter, I guess. But you...
No, out of the two of you. Out of the two of you.
Oh, it would be me, Carol.
All right, yeah, see?
For sure.
Thank you. Girls. Larry, what do you think? Who side are you on?
I'm on his side. I mean, this sounds more like a girl against boy thing. At 11 years old, girls are going to be more responsible, and boys are not. I mean, how many girls were with Raven when he was diving off the cliff?
Well, there was a couple. You know what I'm just going to say is that it's dangerous for both kids. It's dangerous for the one that you're telling you're good and you're responsible and in charge. It's not fair to either of them. It's really not. Thanks for the call,
Larry. Thanks, Larry.
It's not.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Evan, our audience agreed with you. Majority of the audience thought it's going to cause resentment and just have them act out more, so you can't put her in charge. You're going to have to continue getting babysitters until you feel like they're both responsible enough to watch themselves.
And we can use that as an example to, you know, tell our son to be better, and then we won't have a babysitter. Then it's more fair across the board instead of pitting them one against each other. What if we come home and we don't have a house at all?
I think it's a dangerous premise to be telling your kids at 11 years old, you're good, you're bad. And in fact, that's what you're doing. Even if that's not the language you want to use, even if it's not what you believe, Molly, even if it's not what you want to get across, that is how many children would interpret that. And I think that that's why the votes, they didn't go your way today.
Well, I still think that they're wrong. But, you know, maybe we'll change our minds when they're 12.
Okay. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $100. Thanks to NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, Erin, ready to play today?
I am ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
All right, Erin. Well, Raven's walking out of here. If you missed it yesterday, Jill won $5,200. But $100 is $100, and I would love for you to take him down for the second day in a row. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. You have 3 seconds to answer each question. You ready to play?
Yes.
You just got to get more right than him. Ties go to Raven. All right, number one. Celine Dion has a new documentary series about her life called I Am Celine Dion, and it discusses her neurological disorder, stiff person syndrome. My Heart Will Go On was a song she performed for what movie?
Titanic.
Number two, Queen's music catalog is being sold for over $1 billion. What late artist performed Queen's leading vocals?
Freddie Mercury.
Number three, Kevin Costner confirmed he will not be returning to the role of John Dutton on what show?
I don't know.
Number four, today is Prince William's 42nd birthday. His dad, King Charles, posted a throwback picture of the two of them and wrote, "Happy birthday to the Prince of Wales." What city is the capital of Wales?
Cardiff.
At number five, Ben Affleck finally broke his silence on the Kevin Hart podcast. And even though he didn't address the divorce rumors, he did say that dealing with her level of famous is, and I quote, bananas. Who sang the Banana Boat song?
Oh, my God. Jimmy Buffett?
Let me bring Raven back in. Good guess.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Erin.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Celine Dion. It's a new documentary series about her life called I Am Celine Dion. It's going to discuss her neurological disorder, stiff person syndrome.
Yeah.
My Heart Will Go On was a song she performed for what movie?
Titanic.
Correct. Number two, Queen's music catalog is being sold for over $1 billion.
Saw that.
What late artist performed Queen's leading vocals?
Freddie Mercury.
Correct. Number three, Kevin Costner confirmed he will not be returning to the role of John Dutton on what show?
Yellowstone.
That's right. Number four, today is Prince William's 42nd birthday. His dad, King Charles, posted a throwback picture and wrote, "Happy birthday to the Prince of Wales." What city is the capital of Wales?
Cardiff. My favorite city.
Yep. Number five.
My favorite city. You know, yesterday I was going to guess Wales, but I didn't know if Wales was a real country.
That's honestly ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you missed it yesterday, Erin, Cardiff and Wales was the question that Raven got wrong that cost him $5,200.
I mean, it didn't cost me $5,200.
Well, the company.
I only know the answer because I listened.
Oh, see, perfect. All right.
Sorry, company.
Number five, Ben Affleck finally broke his silence on the Kevin Hart podcast. And even though he didn't address the divorce rumors, he did say that dealing with her level of famous is bananas.
Yeah.
I quote, bananas. Who sang the Banana Boat song?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to be so mad at myself as soon as you say it. I can't think of it.
Harry Belafonte.
Yes.
All right, Erin. 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay, thank you. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 come Monday, Anna.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.